Stardate April 30th. Early tomorrow morning, the Earth will catch up to and pass the planet Pluto in the race around the Sun. We travel much faster in orbit than Pluto does, and we go much less distance to complete one orbit around the Sun. We journey around the Sun 248 times for a single orbit of Pluto, so a year on Pluto equals 248 Earth years. When Earth and an outer world are neck and neck in the race around the Sun, the outer world is said to be at opposition. Today we're slightly behind Pluto. Its opposition is tomorrow, May 1st. After that, Earth will keep whirling around the Sun, and we'll catch up and pass Pluto again next year. In fact, we'll catch up to Pluto at nearly the same date next year, because Pluto moves so slowly around the Sun. It's moved through only about one quarter of its orbit since its discovery in 1930. When it was discovered, Pluto was seen against the background of stars in the constellation Gemini. It won't make it back to that same point in the heavens until the year 2177. Between 1930 and 2177, only 1 year on Pluto will have passed. The other outer planets are all moving around the Sun in their respective orbits, with Jupiter in the lead, then Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, and finally Pluto, all in the same general region of the solar system. Coming up from behind, we'll pass each of these outer worlds in turn. First Pluto this week, then Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune in June, and finally Jupiter in November. Our program is Stardate. Our writer and our producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Screen damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Did you say 9?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howell.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And a very good evening to you. As we open up this program, probably the longest introduction of any program ever on the airwaves, brain damage from 10 to 12. Actually, it's 10:17 now, a 17-minute introduction. It was a bit extended because we had the Philip Glass piece in there that just sort of took over for a little while. And that was off the North Star album. It's called Ave, I believe it's how you pronounce it, A-V-E, and normally just a small part of our intro, but today it was the majority. And the reason I'm into Philip Glass all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but more so than usual, is because I saw the sequel to Kyanaskatsi last night, which, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, is Poakatsi, Life and Transformation, and this is a film I would recommend to just about anybody, because just it has so much to offer, but I'll try to talk more about that a little bit later on, and maybe we can dig up the music to Poakatsi, which is around here someplace. Can't seem to locate it, but it is around here, and fine music it is. Some stirring stuff in there, and all new. This is Brain Damage, as I have mentioned. It's a call-in program, and you're welcome to call us up at 632-6901. And if I sound a bit disoriented, it's because my headphones are doing crazy things. You know, all the years I've been doing shows here at USB, I can never remember the headphones not doing crazy things to my ears. They go from one ear to the other. Sometimes they go out completely. They pop back in really loud. I guess it's required that we... There we go, that's better. I'm going to sound disoriented all night long because it seems to be a bit stranger than usual, but try to bear with us. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and what we do on this program, or what we try to do on this program, is pretty much describe what's going on in our lives, because there are so many different things happening to us. And this is the end of the week. This program marks the end of one week and the beginning of another. That's how it works. 10 to 12 on Saturday. At 12 o'clock midnight, the new week begins. So what we try to do is kind of round up the week to see what has happened. And we have some news stories, news events that we'll be getting to, of an international flavor, of a national flavor, of a local flavor, and of a personal flavor. Because the first thing we're going to do is take a look at a record that I found this week. And while I was wandering around in New York City, looking at the nice discount record stores that sell used records and everything like that, I found a copy of Beatles Rarities, which is something I've always wanted to get my hands on. And there are all kinds of versions of songs here, such as the German version of She Loves You, and a different version of Help, the Sgt. Pepper Inner Groove, which is interesting to hear. Maybe we'll play that a little bit later. It's 2 seconds long. So, the song that I am going to play from this album of Beatles Rarities, the American version of Beatles Rarities. There is a British version, too, which I've never seen. If anyone has it, please let me know. I'd like to know what's on it, at least. But what we will hear is a version of I Am the Walrus, which is actually a new version, or was new when this album came out. It combined the two rare versions into one super rare version, and the one we're familiar with, the one that that most of us have, is the one on the pseudo-album, Magical Mystery Tour. And the reason I call it the pseudo-album is because it was only released as an album in the United States, and in the United Kingdom it was a, I believe, a six-song EP. All the songs on side one in the United States were on the whole record in England. And the version that is on that record is the short version. And there's two other versions. They each have something different in them. And what they've done here is they've combined the two of them together so that this one version has the two different things that the American version didn't have. So, one of them, or actually this one, has a few extra beats right after the words "I'm crying," and right before the words "yellow matter custard," whatever that means. You'll hear a few extra beats there. And you'll also hear the intro riff repeated 6 times instead of 4. You know, that sound like sounds like a siren, a police siren approaching. You'll hear that 6 times instead of 4. Now, that might not seem like much, but it means something to us Beatle fans. So these two oddities have been edited together for the first time. And something they say on this album that I don't quite understand, I will try to listen for it this time. They say it's interesting to note that on every stereo version of this song ever released, the song becomes fake stereo almost exactly 2 minutes into the tune, with the bass predominantly on one channel and the highs on the other. So let's take a listen to that, and then we'll get into some other things that have gone on over the last week. This album, incidentally, came out in 1980. And it's only now that I managed to find a copy and pick it up and listen to it. It's well worth hearing different versions of these songs that we're all familiar with. And, of course, it's possible to make your own versions of these songs simply by cutting off one channel or mixing channels in a different way, but we're not going to do that tonight. We're just going to do it the way they gave it to us on this album. If you want to call us, comment on the record, comment on anything else that's happened to you this week or happened in the world this week, give us a call at 632-6901. And now, the super rare version of I Am the Walrus with 6 intro riffs instead of 4 and some extra beats after the words "I'm crying" and before the words "yellow matter custard" here on 90.1 FM WUSB.
I am here as you are, me as you are, me, and we are all together.
Yes, the words from King Lear finishing off that song. I am the walrus. Walrus, that is. I am the walrus. It's important that we all know how to say that clearly. It's a very important part of our culture. And to this day, that song, it has some kind of an effect on me. I don't know what. It's just such an amazing work of art. Don't understand a single thing it's trying to say, but it says it somehow. Almost as clearly as I just said that. And that came from the Beatles' Rarities album. If you'd like to hear something else from that record, I'll let you know what's on it. Love Me Do. I won't go into all the details as to how they're different, but these are the songs. Love Me Do, Misery, There's a Place, Sie lieb dich, which is She Loves You in German, And I Love Her, Help, I'm Only Sleeping, I Am the Walrus, Penny Lane, Helter Skelter, Don't Pass Me By, The Inner Light, Across the Universe, You Know My Name, Look Up the Number, and Sergeant Pepper, Inner Groove. I thought it was You Know My Name, Look Up the Number, but according to this, it's You Know My Name, Look Up My Number. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, give us a call at 632-6901. Let us know what you thought of that, or what you think of anything else going on in the world, or in your life, or in your thoughts. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, my name is Andrew Goldberger.
Hello.
Hi, you know me, right?
We all know you, Andrew. What's up?
Nothing. I was just calling in.
Uh-huh.
Everything is.
Are you listening to the program this week?
Yep.
Well, that's good.
That song is so weird. I mean, it's like a spook. I'm having a sleepover with my friend Bobby Moriarty.
Uh-huh.
Tell Bobby
we all say hi here.
Oh, God. He thought it was, like, kind of stupid. It is the longest introduction, but, you know, it's kind of stupid.
Now, define what you mean by stupid.
You know, it's weird. It's when it's long. When that guy, those singers say, fisole, and it's, like, for a year, it's strange.
Well, the song is only 4 minutes and 32 seconds, and that's the longest version that exists. As far as what the lyrics mean, I can't help you there. You know, everyone has to interpret those kind of things for themselves.
But how did you stretch it out?
I didn't stretch it out. They did that. They put out a rarities version where they just mixed the two together. I'm not sure where they mixed it, where the splice is between the two versions, but they did a good job on it.
Okay, what are you talking about this week?
Basically, we're talking about that. We're talking about other things going on in the news, which we haven't gotten to yet. We're going to be talking about Stony Brook being 30 years old, and they're going to have some kind of festivity tomorrow. We'll be finding out all about that. And anything else, I'm leaving it pretty much open to the listeners this week as to what they want to talk about.
Okay, why don't you talk about Mick Jagger?
We talked about Mick Jagger last week, in fact. He got acquitted this week of stealing that reggae guy's song, which I still have not found. I don't know if we even have it in the station here. But, it didn't really affect me all that much. I didn't really care, you know. But
right.
How did you feel about that?
I don't really, I've never, like, heard this song or anything, but, you know, I'm not sure, so I can't, like, really state my opinion.
Uh-huh. I think, you know, we'd be kidding ourselves if we said that songs didn't take from other songs. You know, I don't know if you can really sue somebody over that, though.
Yeah. One thing, it isn't, like, you were offering, like, programs of all your music.
Programs of all?
Like, all your programs that you do, like, Brain Damage, like, that program with the psychics, Monday at 11.
Uh-huh.
Do you have, like, a program of all the, shows?
You mean a program guide?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We have a special hotline number that people can call if they want to get a program guide sent to them.
Okay, what is that number for?
That number is 632-6498.
Okay.
And I can even transfer you over there if you want to go over there.
All right, thanks.
I will do that. Live on the air, you will hear us being transferred into the computer system that takes care of all that.
Okay, and can you have, like, 8 phone callers, like what you did, like...
I'd like to. I'd like to. I don't know if we can get 8 phone calls at once. If
all right, everyone is listening. This show might seem strange, but it's good. Believe me, it gets better.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Will you still be up at around 11?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you call back then, and we'll try to have a conference and see how many people we can get on the line together. Now, what I'm going to do is transfer you over to the program guide hotline, which is 632-6498. To all those other callers or listeners who soon will be callers, give us a call at 632-6901. Of course, that's all in area code 516. It's where we all live in 516. Now, Andrew, I'm going to transfer you, so get ready.
All right.
Okay, don't move. Here we go.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. You may now release the call or hang up.
I've released the call. So he's been transferred to the appropriate place, and we're in the appropriate place, which is 90.1 FM WUSB, the low end of the dial. Glad you could join us this week as we... I don't know what we do here, but we do something, and we're doing it now. In tomorrow's New York Times, there's a big article about Stony Brook coming of age at the age of 30. And there's going to be some stuff going on here tomorrow. Let's take this call first, but we will get back to this. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hi, Eric. Let me just switch the station here so I don't hear myself talk.
Okay. What station are you switching to?
I guess I'll switch over to PLR, New Haven.
PLR. Oh, that's...
Well, background noise.
Background noise. Yeah, well, mostly we have trouble with people listening to us while they're talking on the phone, but it'd be interesting to hear another station.
I liked... Oh, yeah. I liked your prelude to the show tonight. That was really entertaining.
Yeah, we mixed it up a bit, you know. We like to mix things up here.
And, it was good to hear a young caller call. The previous caller was, it sounded young. And,
well, yeah, he calls every week, though. He calls just about every week, that guy.
Oh, because there's not, usually the young kids are tuned into the empty stations.
Uh-huh.
I guess I don't have to mention any caller.
Well, you know, we all we can hope is that these young people tell all of their friends, all of their schoolmates to listen to USB so that we can gain control of their minds.
Oh, I see.
Huh. That's what we're after. And if we can get an entire school or entire school district or all the young kids of the country to listen to non-commercial radio,
right.
Think of the power, you know?
I'm a real veteran, forums. Though. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm a caller from back in the old days when you had Ministry of Truth.
You're not the guy with the seatbelts, are you?
Yes, I am.
I don't believe this.
You remember me.
Well, I mean, you just keep calling up every so often and saying, hey, do you remember me? I'm the guy with the seatbelt.
Well, I just want to make sure that you know.
I don't even know what the seatbelt thing means anymore. What was the story again?
I'm still against the law.
You were against the law?
I don't like that at all.
But you had some personal run-in with seatbelts or something?
No, but it's just, it's my car, and if I want to go flying through the windshield, I'll go flying through the windshield.
Okay, but my argument against that is, and I don't want to get into a long, prolonged argument here, but if you have a passenger in your car, he is all the more likely not to wear a seatbelt if the person doesn't advise him to. And therefore, you're endangering more people's lives because they get into a car where no one is wearing a seatbelt. They'll feel uncomfortable putting on a seatbelt. I put on seatbelts in people's cars and nearly broken up friendships because people say, well, you think I'm not a good driver or something? You think I'm gonna crash into something, you know? It's really silly, but people do feel that way. And the point I try to make is, no matter how good a driver you are, if something, you know, comes head on into you, there's not much you can do about that. Or if your tires blow out and you go flying across the road, you know, it's nothing personal. I just like to, you know, to live a little longer.
Well, yeah, but that should be my business. I think that we live in a society that's getting cushioned enough with rules and regulations. I don't need any more rules and regulations.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be nice if we could all take care of ourselves, and I wish we could.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I mean, shouldn't it be illegal to drink and drive, too? I mean, obviously you're...
Yeah, all right. Now, let's not get ridiculous. Now.
You're endangering more people that way, but...
We don't have to get out of here. Well, that's never going to stop anyway, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
But what did I call? I called for some reason, and now you can talk about whatever you want.
Well, what's happened in your week? I mean, this is the end of the week here.
I mean, yeah,
tomorrow.
Well, let's see. I called Debbie tonight, and she's not too sure about us having a relationship. So
uh-huh.
Hopefully, to hear about that.
Hopefully, Debbie isn't listening right now.
No, she's out in Nassau, so she can't even hear this.
Well, we did get a call last week from Nassau County,
uh-oh,
so I wouldn't be too sure about that. And plus, people do talk on this island. You know, everyone here knows each other.
Oh. Well, everybody's sick of hearing about relationships, so we really shouldn't talk about that.
Yeah, we all are sick of that. But, I mean, I wish you well, and I wish Debbie well, too, and I wish the two of you well.
Well, we didn't know each other that long, but, uh-huh, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Jim. I have a feeling this, and I have a feeling you know how it is.
Well, when we have our teleconference later, maybe you can meet some new people that way. And it's not even going to be 99 cents a minute. It's going to be free.
We'll see what happens. What else could I talk about? Well, the station. I feel that USB is slowly becoming. You're not going to like this. You're going to hang up on me.
I don't think so. I just might walk out of the room, but go ahead.
USB is slowly becoming the BLI of college stations.
Okay, now that's quite a statement. I'd like you to go into detail.
I feel that the station talks. There's too much talk. Now, I mean, not this show, nothing like this program you're running. It's just that during the day, I feel that the announcers interrupt too much.
Uh-huh.
And it's just too much. It's too much, like the commercial stations. Too much talk. Just play music. Shut up and play music. You know, just
do you
play
hear,
music. That's what I'm listening to.
Well, do you hear music on this station that sounds like music on other stations?
Well, that's the good thing about USB, but I feel that USB is, let's take the, from 3 to 6 slot, that's the worst period of all.
3 to 6.
Really, you see, I really can't complain because it's all volunteers.
That's true, it is. Are you talking about 3 to 6 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
P.m., okay. Well, at times like that, and in the morning, too, people do tend to talk a little bit more because people are driving on their way to work. They want to know what time it is. They want to know what the weather is. But I was listening the other night at about 4 in the morning for 45 minutes, and nobody said a word. And I think that's the other extreme.
Well, I don't listen at that time. Let's say I'm at work in the morning. Well, Ed Davis has a pretty good program.
Oh, yeah. Ed Davis, Monday mornings, right?
But I feel that, the announcers are still, I don't know, they're restricting themselves to playing music where the songs are limited in time to those 5 to 6 minute songs so they can get a lot of material in instead of maybe getting a good long jam or tune in. They're too worried about the amount of songs they get in, it seems like to me, than the quality.
Uh-huh.
Because that's why, you see, that's the thing with the commercial stations. They pump out the hits. And USB, I feel, is doing the same thing in a way. I'd like to hear some nice long, the whole side of an album, maybe, you know, like a long piece. Like PKN does that a lot.
Yeah. Well, one thing you could say about both us and PKN is the DJs, the people who are on the air at the moment, have complete control. No one is standing over them saying, you have to play 2 minute songs or 3 minute songs. If they're doing that, it's because they want to do that. And if they all want to do that, obviously that's some kind of a problem, which we should address.
You have a point. That's why it isn't really a valid complaint. It's just that something that annoys me.
Well, it's something that you can do something about simply by calling up and you know, expressing your views like you are now, but calling the person on the air while they're doing the show.
Well, I've made requests, and sometimes, you know, well, Ed usually honors my request. He's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And Tish Voldekot, she's very good, too.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't want to play my Black Sabbath song this week, so I'm...
Oh, Tish, I'm surprised at you. She loves Black Sabbath. I can't believe she didn't do that.
Yeah, I happened to be listening to your sister station on the way to work, and they played Children of the Grave, and I was like, I was totally ecstatic about it. It was
do we
great.
Have...
Said,
I'm not
I,
sure if we
I,
have
I
a devil
song.
Worship
you
show.
You know, with... surprise tunes is always the same mundane stuff.
Uh-huh.
Every day. They're not surprising me with anything anymore like they used to.
Who's this? Our DJs?
USB. It's pretty much the same.
Don't you see, though? It's a comment on the 80s. The 80s have become mundane and non-surprising, so we're simply parodying the 80s by being mundane and boring.
I don't hear anything.
I think it's genius to do
that. I just don't hear anything from the 70s anymore, really.
The 70s? What happened in the 70s? The early 70s, maybe you got a couple of good things there, but the 1970s, what was that, the Eagles? You know, I mean...
Oh, I mean, we could hear some good Allman Brothers.
Oh, come on. It's Southern rock stuff.
Right? Oh, you get... Oh. Why
did Southern rock become so popular on Long Island? That's what I don't understand. We're nowhere near the South.
Brand X. Oh, how about John McLaughlin? How about progressive rock?
How about Peter Frampton?
Yeah, how about that?
What,
you know, you don't have to play the commercial tunes. They're fun to listen to, I think.
Uh-huh.
I should be. I wish I had the time to be an announcer. I think I'd be a big hit.
Uh-huh. Oh, you ought to give it a try. I mean, that's...
We'll find out. You'll see if there's other calls listening, and they're going to get all over my case, I'm sure. Oh, this guy wants to hear Black Sabbath and Grand Funk. What an airhead.
Well, I
like everything. That's why I listen to USB.
Uh-huh.
The classical programs are fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Can't touch them with a 10-foot pole. I mean, imagine if the other announcers were as good.
Uh-huh.
But then classical, that covers such a spectrum.
Well, you know, we do have an awful lot of every kind of record now, so we can pretty much go crazy no matter what the field is, whether it's reggae, bluegrass, or rock and roll, you know.
But this is brain damage, you know. This is brain damage, your program, so I can speak. I should be able to speak freely.
Sure. You can make funny noises if you want. We don't care, you know. It's that kind of program.
Oh, I can't count. I'll try to be, I don't know what the word is.
Civilized.
Yeah. But I definitely feel that that PKN blows the doors off of USB as far as playing rock goes.
Well, we'll have to challenge them to something. I don't know what we can challenge them to.
USB has become the WBAB of the college stations.
Well, now I'd like to know if any of our other listeners agree with that statement, because when did you reach that conclusion?
Oh, I guess about, I don't know, 6 months ago. I just said, you know, this is getting ridiculous. I'm sitting here listening to this music. It's not going anywhere. They're not playing what I want to hear like they used to. They used to play Zappa. They used to play progressive rock. Now there's just so much of that new wave junk and too much talk. Just play music, you know. Play stuff I can get into. Play something that I can sit there and get into it. As soon as I'm getting into it, the song's over.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I do want to go to some other calls.
Sure.
So, thanks for calling, expressing your opinion.
Yeah.
And keep
so now
listening.
You'll recognize my voice next time I call.
Yes. We'll have a screener.
Because I did come in and meet you one day. You were sitting at the desk. I don't know if you remember that.
It's possible. Yeah, I think I do. I think I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes our listeners come
You're
up here
really
to say hi.
Guy, I think I remember you. Tall.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay,
and,
take care.
We'll hear from you real soon.
Hear what the other listeners have to say.
Yes, 632-6901 is our phone number. Give us a call, area code 516. And while you're fumbling for the phones, something to keep in mind if you're around on a Thursday.
Do you have modern ears? Brian Dinger, Thursdays from 7 till 9 p.m. Only on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yes, music for modern ears. Thursdays here at 90.1 FM. The craziest station in the nation. And all kinds of things like that. 632-6901 is our phone number. As we were saying, Stony Brook will be coming of age. Beset by problems. This is from the New York Times, tomorrow's New York Times, which somehow I got a hold of. For some reason, the Sunday Times gets delivered on Saturday. Probably the same reason that the D section of the Times comes before the C section. No one understands these things. But this is how part of the article reads. Beset by problems that attend growth and success and by buildings that fall too soon into decrepitude, the State University of New York at Stony Brook will mark its 30th birthday with a celebration tomorrow. It says today, but it's not today yet, so it is tomorrow. For those of the 55,000 alumni who attend, there may be remembrances of a sprawling 1,100-acre campus that seemed always to be under construction, and still is. For those who survived the reputation-building science curriculums of earlier years that strive to make Stony Brook the Berkeley of the East, there may be feelings of pride about a university that has become a statewide center for scientific and scholarly research, and the site of a major new teaching hospital. And for everybody that may be surprised at how hard it is to find a place to park on a campus that, for all its technological prowess, remains dependent on the automobile and in need of more parking lots. But, on a larger scale, officials of the university said the occasion marks a coming of age for a major state university system that is training scientists and technicians to sustain and advance Long Island's high-tech industries, even as it excels in teaching musicians and artists who will bolster Long Island's cultural life. The future of Long Island, they suggest, is more closely tied to the future success of Stony Brook than is generally realized. Because many of the 15,000 graduate and undergraduate students are from Long Island, or develop roots here during their education, many will put up with higher living costs and remain, some university officials said. There are a lot of people who were born and will die on Long Island, especially if Shoreham opens, said Joseph Hogan, he didn't say that last part, an associate dean of the College of Engineering and Applied Science. 30 years ago, as the university system ended its first decade, the first Stony Brook freshman class studied in temporary classrooms at the Planting Fields Arboretum in Oyster Bay. Most of the fewer than 50 students in the first graduating class became teachers, according to Ann Begum, the director of alumni affairs. By 1968, more than 5,000 students were enrolled on the Pleasant campus implanted by the state in a previously rural area of the town of Brookhaven near Stony Brook, Setauket, and Oldfield, known as the Three Villages. The three residential communities, hardly college towns, still seem unadjusted to the presence of the university and its students. From the beginning, a frequent complaint among students and faculty and staff members has been the lack of affordable housing off campus. They have also complained about cramped living conditions on campus. But 1968 is also remembered as the year of the drug raid, when the Suffolk County Police arrived unannounced on campus early on the morning of January 17th to arrest 29 students on drug charges. Their search of dormitories turned up 10 pounds of marijuana and two co-eds sleeping in a men's dormitory. The raid followed complaints by some local officials and residents that drug use was rampant and uncontrolled on the campus. The police were very polite, very official, recalled Frank L. Maresca, class of 68, who was working as a dormitory assistant on the morning of the raid. Mr. Maresca, now the deputy chief budget examiner in the state's division of the budget, said that along with the civil rights and anti-Vietnam War demonstrations that year, he also remembered mud, open holes, and a lot of construction. In 1978, enrollment had doubled, but the mud remained. You don't have to slog through that mud to get to class today, said Teresa Lee, class of 78, who is a lawyer in Manhattan, and the president of the Stony Brook Alumni Association. The big issues on campus then, she said, were power failures and a lack of heat and hot water in dormitories, complaints still heard today. If anyone out there used to go to Stony Brook back in the 60s or even the 70s, give us a call because we'd like to see what has changed and just how you feel, this being the 30th anniversary of Stony Brook. 1958 is when Stony Brook opened, even though it wasn't in Stony Brook when it opened. It was in Oyster Bay. That's kind of strange, but it's true. While they readily concede that they face a continuing housing problem, officials of the university envision Stony Brook as the future hub of a new Long Island region. You may very well see in the next 20 or 30 years, Stony Brook and Brookhaven looking more and more like Princeton, New Jersey, or Waltham, Massachusetts, or Chapel Hill, North Carolina, said Donald M. Blinken, hardly able to control his enthusiasm, the chairman of the State University Board of Trustees. Mr. Blinken, an investment banker with a home in East Hampton, said such a future presupposed better transportation and construction of new roads. We don't want a California problem where everybody is spending half their life driving. While relations between university officials and town and village officials and surrounding communities are far warmer today than they were in 1968, the evolution of the Stony Brook campus into a new urban center will nonetheless require local support. Currently, as the university seeks to expand and improve its graduate programs, more than half of the 1,000 residents of the Harry Chapin Graduate Student Apartment Complex are taking part in the rent strike. The strike is an example of the way in which Stony Brook's drive for excellence is hurt by quality of life issues, over which university officials say they often have limited power. The complex was built by a private developer in 1980 under a contract with the State Dormitory Authority. 8 years later, unseasoned wood is warping away from flimsy exteriors. Leaks are endemic, and the heating system, quirky at best, cannot heat all the prematurely shabby-looking apartments. It's not an uncommon story, said Dr. Stan Altman, a deputy to the university's president, Dr. John H. Marburger III. The contractor took a lot of shortcuts. He said that the state has budgeted $7 million this year for construction of new graduate student apartments. These, he said, will house graduates displaced during a renovation program at the complex. Faced with state requirements that student housing be financially self-sufficient, the university sought recently to raise rents 10% in the complex, further angering the graduate students. A leader of the rent strike, George Biederman, of the Chapin Apartments Residents Association, said the rent strikers wanted to live rent-free until the university corrects problems at the complex. About $60,000 in rent money, he said, has been placed in an escrow account. Frederick R. Preston, the university vice president for student affairs, said the rent increase was needed to meet higher contract and waste removal costs. The students, he said, were not paying for the renovations. He said a subsidy and other funds had since reduced the increase to 4.5%, while renovations were progressing swiftly. We're making very rapid progress, he said. The will soon be an issue long forgotten. What do you think that means? The will soon be an issue long forgotten.
What will?
It just says the will soon be an issue long forgotten. I don't think Fred Preston actually talks that way.
Actually, I think it's forgotten. I don't remember anything about it.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is we'll soon forget all about whatever is going on here.
I think it was that they will.
They will soon be an issue long... That's not right either, because they cannot be an issue. They can be issues. They is plural. I'm an English major. Don't argue with me on this. Where was I? Students who withhold rent, he said, would eventually be slaughtered. No, just trying to grab your attention there. Evicted. But just wanted to make sure you were listening. Now, we've solved that problem. We don't do that anymore. I don't think it will come to that, he said. Dr. Altman said that about three-quarters of student housing on most college campuses is occupied by freshmen and sophomores. Some people would say rats, but I'm not going to be one of them.
No, not rats. Roaches, but not rats.
No, but at Stony Brook, because students who wish to live off campus often can't find apartments or houses they can afford, he said about half of student housing is occupied by upperclassmen and graduates. The high cost of living on Long Island, university officials said, continues to be a burden to graduate instructors and faculty members who are paid according to a statewide schedule. On Long Island, Mr. Blinken said, a dollar buys only two-thirds as much housing as it does on the three upstate university centers in Albany, Binghamton, and Buffalo. Long Island living costs also become a factor when the university seeks to hire top-ranked faculty members. High utility costs, the continuing increasing cost of waste disposal, and a leap in insurance costs, not to mention an annoying FM radio station, are putting additional strain on the university budget. The cost of buying and maintaining high-tech equipment and computers have also been high. But the university is also trying to cope with the enormous costs of operating a major teaching hospital that to some extent is draining money from other campus programs, including maintenance. Last year, according to the State University of New York annual report, expenditures for the university hospital and its clinics reached nearly $129 million, while total university expenses were just under $384 million. According to the report, 1,639 graduate and undergraduate students were enrolled in health science programs, while 14,527 graduates and undergraduates were enrolled in the university. While enrollment at the university is held steady at around the 15,000 mark, a very competitive admissions policy and the low annual tuition of $1,350 that is standard for the state system has made Stony Brook attractive to Long Island students. As the gap between tuition at private universities and public institutions rises and Stony Brook's reputation in technical fields, health sciences, and the arts grows, university officials foresee attracting some of the brightest of Long Island students. With 43,000 Suffolk and 36,000 Nassau residents enrolled in the state university system, Long Island students currently account for more than 1 in 5 students on the 64 state campuses. From its beginnings in 1948, the state system has become the largest and most diversified in the country. At Stony Brook, special efforts have been made to coordinate course offerings with other state campuses to ease transfers and avoid course duplication. A student at the State College of Technology at Farmingdale, for instance, can enroll at Stony Brook for certain courses not taught at Farmingdale. And Stony Brook also absorbs community college students from Nassau and Suffolk who want to continue in higher education after completing 2-year programs. The university expects that the alumni will be joined by Stony Brook neighbors and employees for the celebration. That celebration on Sunday, tomorrow, begins at 11:30 a.m. Along with a craft fair and international foods, there will be gospel singing, band music, and a performance by a quintet from the university's music department. Dr. Marburger and state and local officials will cut a 9-by-4-foot birthday cake later in the day. And the rain date is May 7th. And if you know anything about Stony Brook, we make use of our rain dates because we have a lot of rain here. I believe we're going to be broadcasting part of that. I don't see anything around here indicating what we're going to be broadcasting, but I assume we'll be broadcasting some of it. So tune in tomorrow afternoon and see what we're doing. The 30th anniversary of Stony Brook. And the place has changed quite a bit since the 1960s. Again, I'd like to ask anyone out there who went to Stony Brook in the 1960s, if you're still in the neighborhood, if you haven't been driven away completely, please call us. Tell us what it was like back in the 60s. Was it like the Wonder Years, or was it just Mud City? Originally, this campus was only supposed to be red brick buildings, two-story red brick buildings. That was the condition of the land being donated, but after a while, it just didn't stay that way. It turned into six- and eight-story buildings, and the Health Science Center, which is a very unique structure, let's just put it that way. There's a big picture of it in tomorrow's New York Times in the Long Island section. If you've never seen it, it's worth picking up just to see what that building looks like. So, Stony Brook at age 30. Something to sort of sit back and gasp at. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, good evening. This is my first time listening to the program, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Thank you.
I'm a graduate of Stony Brook, though I can't say that I spent any time in the 60s. I'm a graduate of the class of 82, Department of Engineering. And my mother did get a master's degree there when I was a child, so I may have attended some of the classes and been there in the 60s. I kind of remember one occasion she was bringing me in for lack of a babysitter to her art class where she was painting some nudes, and that kind of like sticks out in my mind. I have since moved to the California region, and I'm actually working as a radio broadcaster at a college radio station. It's a part-time hobby, a radio station KFJC 89.7 on the FM dial. And it's alternative, very much as your program is.
Uh-huh.
So I've got some experience as to what we're doing in programming out in the West. My program is called The Gateway to Infinity. If you don't mind, I'm just going to give you some background that we can talk about.
No, go right ahead. I'm fascinated.
I host a show called The Gateway to Infinity, on which I feature music of a form called synapse music, and that's an acronym that stands for Synthetic Instrumental Nebulous Atmospheric Progressive Spatial Electronic Music.
Uh-huh.
So some of the programs that I heard you promoing earlier kind of seem to fit, like the modern ear or something like that.
Music for modern ears, yeah.
What I'm doing.
Now, so you have radio show on this station on the West Coast.
Right.
What part of California is it?
Yeah, San Jose.
San Jose.
Right. And it's quite progressive and it's very popular. The radio station, it's a large staff of about 150 individuals, and we work very, very hard, and you know, we're in television constantly for doing unusual things.
What's some of the unusual things you've done?
Okay. Every April 1st, we do something a little bit different. For instance, like playing one program out of the left channel and another out of the right. we had done. This year, we did all Dave radio. Every song that we did was by somebody named Dave or about somebody named Dave. And that got us a couple of local TV spots covered that.
Only DJs named Dave could be on the air?
Yeah, but for myself, I assumed the name Dave for the day. So
uh-huh.
Dave for a day. Kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
We've gone, you know, spoofs like all talk radio and all reggae radio and just fooling our listeners into thinking that we're actually changing format because someone forgets when it's April 1st. My show kind of sometimes is coined as a new age radio program. And so the year before this one, we went all New Age because it was just becoming of getting a lot of attention, that New Age format. And so that scared the hell out of a lot of very serious listeners.
Yeah.
That New Age thing. A lot of people cringe at that term, New Age. Do you have any feelings about that?
I don't really. What is your definition of New Age?
Well,
What would you give me some artists that you think
kind of the Tangerine Dream kind of ish music. But then again, you have the, you know, shakuhachi flute and the solo piano kind of stuff on the Windham Hill label and the Narada label. So it is a little bit tricky to define it. I kind of like, you know, the acronym that I've used to define a music that includes stuff that's industrial and wouldn't fit into just strictly New Age format.
Uh-huh. I can't recall ever liking music just because of what it's labeled. You know, not New Wave, not New Age, or, you know, anything else. Just, I like the sound of something, and if it sounds good, okay, I don't really care what it's called. I've liked all kinds of different music, traditional folk and reggae and just jazz.
Right, and the New Age thing does cross those boundaries. You know, so, when I say New Age, unfortunately, what I'm referring to is the fact that there's like labels like Windham Hill and Narada, like I previously mentioned, and Innovative Communication, to name a couple, that use the term as a marketing approach to sell a lot of records. And unfortunately, what people associate with it are some people that are not quite as talented as some more of the progressive artists. Artists that can sit down in front of a computer rather than being musically literate and knock off a couple of sequences and do some doodling, you know, without any musical knowledge, and sell a lot of records because they've got a great synthesizer and some good sequencing, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, a lot of very serious musicians frown upon that because there's not much musical ability associated in certain cases.
Uh-huh. Do you consider Philip Glass to be New Age?
Well, I play him during my show, and there are a couple in the Bay Area where I reside. There are a couple of New Age radio programs, New Age radio stations, excuse me, and they on occasion will have his music. But no, I consider him one of the movers of you know, modern music. I think of him as a Beethoven of this particular era. So,
uh-huh.
You know, I'd be afraid to use that phrase to define him.
Yeah.
Say he's a leader and not doing anything that anybody else is doing. People are utilizing his what he's coming up with. Specifically, I was talking to a friend today about the music of David Borden. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he's just released a new album, the title I can't quite think of right now. He's got an older one called Imposed Order, and it's very Philip Glass-ish, and though he's not copying it, it's the exact same style of repetition and minimalism that we've come to associate with Philip Glass.
If you get a chance, I really, as I said before, I'd recommend the new film, Parokatsi.
Oh, indeed. In fact, I've seen Parokatsi on several occasions, and you just made me aware that the movie is out. I've seen the album out, and I thought perhaps they had released the album prior to the film as a promotion, as a method of making people aware of it before the film's released, but apparently not. You've seen it.
Uh-huh. I saw it last night.
Talk about that right now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I saw it last night in New York at the Ziegfeld. It's there for a limited engagement.
Uh-huh.
And it was...
Is it exclusively there?
It's exclusively there in New York. I don't know if it's anywhere else. And they say a limited run. I'm not quite sure what that means. They're going to take it out for a while and then just show it on Channel 13 or something. But it's a huge theater. I would see any film in this theater. Let's put it that way. It's just... If you're going to see a film, that's where you should see it.
I think I saw the second showing of Pink Floyd's The Wall there.
Uh-huh.
I think it was there.
When did you see that?
When?
Yeah, was that a long time ago? Or?
A long time ago. With the first week that it came out, my brother and I saw it the second night that it was showing.
That's a good place to see it, yeah. That's a very good place to see it. They have tremendous sound, about 1,000 seats, I think. Balcony and chandeliers, long corridors. 25-minute wait for popcorn, though, but that's something you have to live with. But the film itself, as compared to Kyanaskazi, which was the first, and I understand there's going to be three altogether.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Now, this was produced by Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas presentation, and, of course, directed by Godfrey Reggio.
Uh-huh.
There's much more of a human side to this. There is... Just so many faces.
But again, no spoken word.
No spoken word, except some of the singing. So it's kind of like tribal chants at some points. But other parts of the music are instrumental, fast-moving, slow-moving, things in slow motion. You see people doing the most mundane things. You see people washing clothes on stones. You see them carrying these huge bundles of grass, carrying things on their heads. You just see the most mundane day-to-day occurrences all over the world. And the wonderful thing is they mix it all together. You see Buddhists, you see Orientals, you see Africans, and it looks like they're all together because it just goes from one to the other.
Life in Turmoil, and this one is Life in...
That was Life Out of Balance. This is Life in Transformation.
Yeah. Now, could you give me an idea of like how those two themes were different in their depictions?
Well, I haven't quite figured out where the Life in Transformation or Life Out of Balance fits in. On either film, but the way Palakatsi is different from Kyanaskatsi, like I said, just much more of a human view. You just see people. You see expressions on people's faces. And after walking out of the theater, I just realized I can never look at strangers in the same way again.
Yeah.
Because everybody has this incredible, majestic expression on their face.
Yeah.
And you just look at the most ordinary people. And, you know, I went over to Penn Station after this, and I love hanging out in Penn Station. I love just standing there and watching things go by. I mean, I look like a degenerate leaning against the wall, but I'm actually, like, watching everything, just seeing it all happen. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing as Palakatsi, just watching all of these day-to-day occurrences, what some people might call poverty and gross, disgusting things, you know, people urinating and stuff like that. Not that they show that, but just the average day-to-day things. Somehow,
I expect that you'll see it again.
I think I will. I
saw Kyanaskatsi on several occasions, and whenever I... have the opportunity of, well, when I see it playing again, I usually take a different friend to go see it to try to get reactions. It's a really good thing to make you think about, you know, what your perception is of life and currently, like, we have this technological thing going on, you know, for the last, like, 90 years, you know, man has been achieving great works of, you know, technological, progress that wasn't happening prior. And I thought that's what Kyanaskatsi was all about. You know, we're getting into a stage where we're not really in control of what we're doing with the Earth. We're destroying the Earth because we're moving too quickly without thoughtfulness. But I've yet to see Palakatsi, so I can't really speak on that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, though. In fact, the radio station I work at is very involved in supporting and sponsoring artistic things such as that, and I made a recommendation that we sponsor that film at a local theater, so we'll be very much, I believe we'll be involved in sponsoring it somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it should be coming to a theater near you at some point. You have to see this in a theater. You can't wait for it to come to TV, because I never really saw Kyanaskatsi in a theater. I only saw that on television.
Well, make an attempt to see that as well.
Yeah, I will, if that's playing around someplace. One thing that strikes you, though, about this film is just the incredible...
I'm gonna pick it up and play it in their theater.
The incredible cinematography, the colors, it's so perfect. I don't know how they were able to do it. And I wonder, did they tell the people to do their day-to-day occurrences in front of the camera?
I don't think there's any acting at all. I think that they just don't, you know, go move to a site and they film what people are naturally doing.
But the thing is, the cameras have to be kind of a distraction to the people because...
Yeah.
We're not talking a camcorder here. This is a major production,
right.
70 millimeter and all that, and they just capture so much. And occasionally you just see groups of maybe 50 people just staring at you.
Yeah.
And you feel like they're really staring at you because what they are doing is looking into the camera, into this strange machine, and we're seeing the other end of that, and they're looking straight at us, and it's quite a sight. And I'd also like to sort of relate this to something else that happened this week. I don't know if you watched the TV program Nightline this past week.
No.
They did a live program from Israel where they discussed the Israeli-Palestinian issue. And to bring something like that to television and to see the human faces, to realize that that the people of other parts of the world, in many cases, look just like us.
Two eyes, two legs, two noses.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't live in squalor. They have nice, healthy smiles. And I think that's one thing that television and one thing that film is really capable of doing, is bringing us closer by making us see how we're all similar.
Yeah, it's very much part of, you know, the communication thing. You know, we're able to communicate long distances very, very quickly. And It's a way of spreading knowledge more quickly. So we're learning at a far more rapid pace. My feeling has been, and it's nice that I'm able to share this with your audience, because they're an alternative thinking audience, I believe, that the next movement will be in transportation. You know, we'll see people going to different places, you know, more. As communication is very, very a very big thing right now, especially data communication and and video and movie kind of communication. I think you're aware right now, people are like in a stage right now where they're staying in the home, they've got their VCRs, you know, and they're watching stuff at home more than like going out. I think that's like, you know, been a trend for the last couple of years. But I believe that that's going to move towards people transporting themselves to other places, and that's going to be a next big stage that we see in intelligent communities.
Yeah, it's the quality of the communications. I mean, it's great to be able to communicate all over the place, but if you don't say anything, you know, it's like I always say with the ham radio people, you know, they've got this potential to communicate and really say interesting things, but most of the time they just talk about radio equipment. Same thing with computers. If we just spend our time talking about the computer we're using and not about important things, you know, differences in life and perspectives and that kind of stuff, we're wasting it.
Yeah. Now, well, the reason that transportation is an important thing as well is because the same feeling that you've gotten now from watching a program about Israel, imagine the impact that would have on your life if you were actually able to just go to Israel in a very short period of time and come back. You know, and I'm a subscriber to a periodical called Aviation Week, and there are many of the governments, not only the United States, are looking at what they call a space plane, the ability to launch from an airport and then achieve a very, very incredibly high altitude so that they can go from, like, almost into an orbit.
Yeah, low orbit, I believe it is.
Orbit, right, and then very quickly get from one place to another. So in, like, you know, a three-hour period, you get to the other side of the globe, you know, and that would have a very, very large impact, just as, you know, the speed with which we communicate has had on...
Well, of course, initially, though, only very rich people will be able to do that. It'll be kind of like the Concorde.
How much a computer costs, you know, like with 300K or, you know, 100K or 10K, 16K computers, you know, like 10 years ago, you know, would cost $10,000.
You
got them with, you know, like 50 megabytes of memory, you know.
Yeah, well, it has to take off.
Thousands of times is...
It has to catch on. If it doesn't catch on, that won't happen.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So hopefully it will. I mean, it's one thing that we've never had before is this instant communications with satellites, especially the satellites. They're making it a lot easier to get around for those of us who never leave our homes,
right,
and to see how the rest of the world is.
So we're learning more about the way other... So we're kind of like taking all the knowledge of everywhere, you know, and putting it into a place where everybody can learn from everybody else's experience. Hopefully we'll not use that to destroy, you know, the globe in which we live. We'll use it to, you know, get to a very peaceful and organized lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it will, because it certainly did that. Ted Koppel certainly got that across with the five shows from Israel. We saw the actual people. We didn't hear about it in the papers. We just saw the people, you know, walking up and down the streets, and that says so much in itself. We've seen the Soviet people looking at our cameras, looking at us, smiling, and it's just such an effective means of communication.
One of the things I wanted to ask, the Ioannis Katsi program started with the launch of a rocket of some kind, Saturn V or something like that, and ended with another smaller rocket taking off, and then watching that launch until it was very, very high up and following it, and then all of a sudden it blows up and falls to pieces, and the dwindling and then the last kind of pieces as they're burning, you know, falling back to Earth. And I thought of that as, you know, the quick rapidity with which our civilization has taken on, you know, technology, and the quickness with which we've accepted into our lives, and it gets up to a high point.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everything blows up, and it just dwindles down, and then the last remnants of a civilization just kind of, you know, still struggling to survive, and then they go, and then it gets burnt out. And that was the Hopi Indians, you know, message. To the world that they derived from their etchings and stuff. Was there something like that? Was there a very powerful message there?
Well, there wasn't anything really technology. There were views of cities and very fascinating views of foreign cities. Like you would see a marketplace and you'd go through the entire marketplace. You'd just see these people selling their bowls of fruit and walking back and forth and talking to each other, and you really felt like you were there. But I didn't see any real technological type of advances. There were no views of computers or rocket ships. I think it was much more of a human-oriented type of a film.
Well, what was the transformation? Was there anything...
Well, it went from slow motion, people moving in slow motion, carrying things, to... well, there wasn't really any fast motion effects.
Yeah.
It was just kind of an intensification of just things going on with the people.
Well, it sounds interesting.
It's very hard to describe, you know. It's and of course the natural sights were amazing too. The mountains, the trees.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to say that I'm entertained by your program and the ability to carry on a phone-in type of format is something that I've really never attempted. And as I was sitting in the garage with my brother working on his Volkswagen,
uh-huh.
We were listening to you speaking, and he inquired as to why I have never attempted to do a phone-in type of talk show. And actually, it's a little bit scary. You've got to keep on going and talking and being knowledgeable in whatever subjects people bring up.
Well, it's a lot of fun too. It's kind of like life itself, you know. People throw you all these situations, and you just got to deal with them. Plus, it's not just a phone-in show. This can also be a phone-out show. Sometimes we make phone calls too.
I heard about your PLO thing. My brother told me about it.
Yeah, in fact, the guy we spoke to, Mr. Terzi, I believe his name was, a couple of weeks ago, the chief spokesperson for the Palestine Liberation Organization in the United States, was on Nightline a couple of
months
ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to see what he looked like. He's,
hey, don't you like the fact that you beat him to it?
I guess so. Well, of course, he probably is the person that everybody interviews whenever they speak about this.
Yeah.
But it was interesting seeing him.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.
Okay, thanks for calling. What town are you in, by the way?
I'm calling from Comac. My parents, I've had the opportunity to come out here on a business trip, and my parents are going to be moving, so I won't be out here very frequently in the future.
Uh-huh.
But the town is Comac, and... I'm currently living in San Jose. If there's anybody from Comac High School North or anybody who knows Raymo Perini, that's who I am, and I'm still alive and kicking.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm sure all your friends who hear that will pass the word around. And
yeah.
Maybe we could all just spread that word around, too.
Right.
Thanks very much for calling. Good luck on your radio station out in California.
And good luck here in Stony Brook.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 632-6901 is our phone number, and Susan, do you think you'll be seeing this tremendous film that has come out? Powakatsi. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Well, it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Except I have a couple of finals to worry about. Maybe after that.
Oh, this will make you forget right about your finals, and there's no question about that. You'll just sink into some kind of state of mind. You don't even have to be on drugs to appreciate this.
Okay.
Even
well,
though
sounds like my kind of
the
thing.
New York Times actually suggested that you be on drugs to appreciate this. In yesterday's review, they said to watch this film without being drunk or stoned. Not those words. They used more civilized words. Somehow you'd be missing something by not being in that condition. So, I don't know if it's going to be coming out to Long Island. It's currently playing at the Ziegfeld in Manhattan. Exclusive limited engagement.
Just judging from the picture in the ad, it looks depressing.
Well, you see, that's something I was very curious about when I was walking out of the theater. How would people see this? Would they see it as something optimistic or something pessimistic? I saw it as optimistic because I just saw all the common denominators of all the different people around the world, the smiles, the work, you know, the various emotions, the things we can all identify with.
Mm-hmm.
But other people could see it as... my God, we're not going anyplace. There's all this poverty, people living in squalor. But even the people living in squalor had smiles on their faces at times. Not always, of course. But it's just, you know, it somehow I see life as worth living when viewed in that way.
Yeah.
That could be a naive view, I realize, but...
No, I don't think so.
It's a great film. And the music of Philip Glass is simply incredible, too. I'm going to put some of it on underneath us. not the music from the film, but music from Philip Glass, which sort of gives you an idea of what the film might be like.
Why are you playing the music underneath us? Why aren't you just playing
because
the music?
Because if I play the music, then I won't talk, and people will be disappointed.
Oh, okay.
They expect me to talk until midnight.
Well, why don't you play, like, a couple of minutes of
besides, I'd like to take some more phone calls, too.
Oh, okay. That's
and I give out the phone number. We do have a couple waiting, 632-6901. And if you get through, just let the phone ring, and we promise no one will pick it up in the studio, as it was happening before, but it won't happen again. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes. How many time zones are there in the Soviet Union?
How many time zones are there in the Soviet Union? I believe 11.
11?
11.
11? 11.
Wow. That's not even funny.
It's not funny at all.
No, sir.
Well, it's good that we can provide information like that.
Well, that's what we're here for, informational station.
Yes. 11 time zones.
Well, actually, mentioning this movie after this is probably inappropriate, but did you ever see Airplane? I think Airplane, the information that...
Airplane's a terrific film.
Well,
so is Airplane,
I don't
too.
Think it's pretty bad. It's
it doesn't compare to Polikotsky, no.
But that just reminded me of the movie Airplane. They have the information desk, and everybody was coming up for information. Well, that's what they're here for.
632-6901 is our telephone number. Let's talk to an operator.
No telephone, Peggy. Can I help you?
Yes, operator. I need overseas information, please.
Overseas, sir?
Yes.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Please pass all call details to that operator.
It's telephone lingo. Don't worry about it.
Good evening, AT&T.
Hi, I need to know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union.
The time zone?
That's right.
All right, let me give you the operator there, sir. Hold on, please.
Thank you very much.
No Russian?
I don't think it's in Russia. No, it's probably in White Plains.
AT&T, may I help you?
Yes, operator. Calling from 516-689-8333.
Thanks. To what country?
Well, I'm trying to find out information about the time in a certain country.
What country is that, sir?
The Soviet Union. I need to find out how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union. They're helping us now.
You get such good service with phone operators.
There are 12, sir.
12?
Yes.
Are you really? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
12. There's 12 time zones. Negative land is wrong. This is incredible. In case you don't know what in the world we're talking about, there is this... This incredible piece by Negative Land that just keeps asking the same question over and over again. It was taken from a talk show, in fact. Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? They just keep replaying it over and over again. 11, 11, yes. But there's actually 12. That's incredible.
That was recorded.
That's incredible. Maybe later on in the show we'll play that piece. Unless, Susan, do you think you could find that piece? The Negative Land piece?
I want to ask you something.
Go ahead.
This is sort of relevant to something you started with. Where is Stony Brook located?
We're
not in Stony Brook.
We're not in Stony Brook?
I doubt we're.
Where the hell are we?
Setauket is on...
Oh, no, we're not in Setauket. We're in Stony Brook.
But Stony Brook is way over there by...
Well, Stony Brook Village is down the road there. But this is part of Stony Brook proper. Everything on Nichols Road is Stony Brook.
When you go out the north entrance, everything is Setauket.
Well, from that point on, do you know where Little Mandarins is?
Yeah.
That's where Setauket begins.
Oh, so we're like the borderline of Stony Brook.
Pretty much, yeah. Because Stony Brook train station is right here on the campus.
How about to our south?
How about what?
To our south. Like
to our south is, they call that South Setauket.
Isn't that Lake?
Well, Lake Grove, too. A lot of towns mixed together there. There's Lake Grove,
is
South Setauket.
Is Setauket and South Setauket?
It's right on the border, yeah. In fact, across the street is the Setauket Fire Department down Nichols Road.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
But I believe when things burn here, we're served by the Stony Brook Fire Department.
Which is further? No.
It is a little bit further, come
no,
to think of it.
Wait, is that on 25A? Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, see if you can find the Negative Land album, yeah. And we'll take some more phone calls. 632-6901. Isn't this music beautiful? This is... Just imagine all the different sights and sounds of the world coming at you. Oh, it's too much to imagine. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, Eric.
Yes.
I have some information for you about where Stony Brook is.
Oh, that would be so helpful. Thank
the
you.
The hospital is actually in Easytalkit.
The hospital is in Easytalkit?
HSC.
That's right. It is, come to think of it.
I was
it's
in a library
the
once, and their mailing address on some of their literature said, the library, Health Science Center, State University of New York, at Stony Brook, Easytalkit, New York, 11733. Which I asked the librarian about, and she said, yeah, that's it.
That's incredible.
Yep. Yeah, I have a question relating to that, though.
Okay.
Are we on Long Island, or are we in Long Island?
Well, speaking for myself personally, I am on Long Island.
Yeah, that's how
I've got,
feel.
I've got Long Island in me, but I don't consider myself to be in Long Island.
Yeah. You see, you ask some people where they live, and they say they live in Long Island, and I don't agree.
Yeah, I would correct them on that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if any of our listeners in Connecticut might, where they think I live.
Well, that's interesting. They live in Connecticut.
Yeah, they live in Connecticut.
I never thought of it that way. They live in Connecticut. They don't live on Connecticut.
Yeah.
I never said I live in Long Island. That's strange. Wow. That is very bizarre. I live on Long Island, but I live in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for mystifying me even further on that.
All right. Take care.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. It's our telephone number. And in a moment, we'll be taking a look at a McDonald's in Moscow. Just when you thought it was safe. And if that's not enough, we also have reports of loons in Brooklyn. Maybe there's a similarity here. From today's New York Times. The prospect of golden arches on Gorky Street moved a step closer yesterday when the McDonald's Corporation agreed to help put two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a Soviet bun. The Big Mac will be sold in its original form at 20 McDonald's restaurants in Moscow, and it will be known as the Bolshoi Mac, Bolshoi meaning big in Russian. A joint venture agreement to open the restaurants and a huge food processing plant to service them was announced today by the company's subsidiary, McDonald's Restaurants of Canada, and the Food Services Division of the Moscow City Council. The restaurants will be staffed by Soviet workers, McDonald's said, and run by Soviet managers trained in McDonald's traditions, perhaps at the company's hamburger universities in Illinois, London, Munich, and Toronto. McDonald's first restaurant is not expected to open before the fall. It will have 650 seats, and George A. Cohen, the president of the Canadian subsidiary, said, "We think this will be the highest volume McDonald's in the world." The Bolshoi Mac will sell for 2 rubles, about $3.38, or approximately 1% of the average Soviet monthly salary. In the United States, the average Big Mac costs $1.45. The Big Mac will taste the same as it does anywhere else in the world, Mr. Cohen promised at a news conference in the city council offices. Mr. Cohen first met with Soviet officials at the Olympic Games in Montreal in 1976, a McDonald's spokesman said, and negotiations leading to today's announcement have been going on for more than 10 years. The pace quickened after Mikhail Gorbachev became the Soviet leader. Because Mr. Cohen took the lead role, the deal was made through the Canadian subsidiary. For skeptics who suspect that the prospect of getting a happy meal on the run in Moscow, or the promise of the commissary receiving a steady supply of meat, potatoes, and cheese, might be a whopper, Mr. Cohen offered assurances that our specialists have visited many facilities to be sure that the comparable products exist. He added, we wanted to use the local products whenever possible. However, a spokesman for the Moscow City Council, Valery A. Zarov, said, I will be open. We will face some problem in obtaining some supplies for the Central Processing Center. He added, McDonald's has very strict requirements. The Golden Arches near Red Square would not be the first in a communist country. A McDonald's opened in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, earlier this year. Another is expected to open in Budapest this month. Moscow dramatically signaled its interest in McDonald's in November 1986, when Soviet television carried a flattering portrait of a McDonald's. Viewers were shown hamburgers sizzling on the grill as the staff hustled behind the counter filling orders. A commentator observed, maybe there is something we can learn from this. The first McDonald's in Moscow will open on Gorky Street, near the city council's offices, and not far from the site where Moscow's first Pizza Hut restaurant is expected to open late this year or early in 1989. The second McDonald's to open, at an undisclosed location, will sell warm burgers for cold, hard Western cash. Mr. Cohen and his Soviet partners would not say how much money the Canadian company would invest in the project. The bulk of the initial investment will be put into the construction of a commissary or processing plant in Moscow. One problem the venture is facing is packaging. That's going to be rough, Mr. Cohen said. He said the venture might import styrofoam and paper from Yugoslavia. The important thing for us, he added, is opening the restaurant, being sure queues are kept to a minimum, being sure that service is proper, the sandwich is warm, and the premises are clean. From the Rarities album, the German version of She Loves You. And if you recall, there was a German version of I Want to Hold Your Hand, which was put out on one of the American records. But this is one that wasn't put out quite as much that you may not have heard, so it's good to hear it now and then. Yeah, the Beatles here on USB. And we might play another one, one of those songs from the Rarities album. If people have ideas, give us a call. Also, now we are going to take calls for our teleconference. Yes, our toll-free teleconference. Actually, it will cost you whatever it costs to call Stony Brook, but you will not have to pay 99 cents a minute to meet fascinating people and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. Do you realize 99 cents a minute is only $60 an hour just to talk on the phone? Do you realize that you can talk to any country in the world for less than that? So give us a call here at 632-6901 and be tied together with all kinds of people that have similar and different interests, people that you will like and hate, and people that you'll never probably talk to again. 632-6901. Let's take our first call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I was wondering what happened to, what's it called? Shadow Over Long Island.
Shadow Over Long Island?
Yeah.
Maybe you mean Voice of Long Island.
No, it was the Shadow Over Long Island about the Shore Nuclear Power Plant.
Well, Shadow Over Long Island was a radio play. We aired that a few years ago, but that was only on once.
Yeah. I was wondering if you can still get tapes to that?
Well, I'm not sure if you can get tapes for it. You might want to call up the programming department during the week or something. I don't mean to pass it off to other people, but it's possible. We might be able to work something out like that.
Might you ever re-air that again, or no?
That's possible, too.
Trouble.
Well, we wouldn't get in trouble for it. You know, we give enough warnings throughout it to tell people that there isn't really a nuclear meltdown at the local nuclear power plant. It's only a joke or a simulation or something like that. But for the most part, we had pretty positive response in the whole thing. So, where are you calling from?
Ronkonkoma.
Well, do you want to be part of the teleconference?
Not really.
Okay, well, it's a good thing because we don't have any other calls. But I would like to give out the phone number again, 632-6901. If you do want to be a part of it, give us a call now. We only have about another 20 minutes. Thank you, Ronkonkoma, for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. Now, I know a lot of people, they see the ads on TV, and they go running for their phones, and they call up those 900 numbers, and they get tied together, and they have to pay enormous bills. Now, if we just get maybe three or four people calling up here, we can do the same thing, except it won't cost us anything. It won't cost us anything. It won't cost you very much. It'll cost you maybe 3 cents or something. So, give a call, 632-6901. Where are all these people? Susan, you have the magic voice. Let's ask people to call.
Call people. Come on, call. Is that good enough?
632-6901.
Now let me do that. 632-6901. I couldn't find the album.
Okay, we've got a puppy here. And we're going to kill the puppy unless we get three calls now.
Oh, that's right. 632-6901.
Now, you didn't think I'd do it, did you? No, I was serious when I asked you to get the dog before. Yes, we will do this at the stroke of midnight if we don't get any calls, okay?
We've got one call so far.
We've got two calls. I'm waiting for that third light to light up. When that lights up, the puppy will be let
run into the station. Come on, call and let the puppy go.
Oh, we've lost one of the calls now. You want to pinch the dog a little bit just to show we mean business here?
I can't pinch a dog.
Okay, we've got two calls back again. I want to see a third light up, and then we'll start hooking people together.
Next person who calls gets a free fortune cookie.
632-6901. This will read your fortune on the air.
Yes.
We'll make your fortune on the air. 632-6901. Where's that third call? Come on, we can.
Why don't you get those two guys before they leave? And then hopefully.
Okay, we've got the third call. Let's get the first one. Now, good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Kill the puppy.
He wants to kill the puppy. Well, we'll just pretend we didn't hear that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
That's where I was going, too. I was going to say kill the puppy.
Oh, God. And I'm thinking humanity.
But maybe you ought to get a whole bunch of, kill the puppy calls with everybody, why they want to kill the puppy.
Well, I don't know if FCC regulations allow us to kill a puppy. We have to do it after midnight if we're going to do it.
Yeah. But see, I don't think people realize how cute this puppy is. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to kill
him. And actual sacrifices after midnight.
Now, sir, you stay on the line. I'm going to try to hook in another call here.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, dear. What happened there? Sir, are you still with us?
I think I still am.
Sorry about that. I think I transferred you by mistake, but let me try that again.
Oh, my God. I'm in Pasadena.
Wait a minute. How can I do this? My goodness. I've forgotten how to work the phones.
Oh, my God.
Well, we're just demonstrating it.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I forgot to hit a certain button.
Ah.
Now I'll hit that button. Okay. And we should have two groups of calls together now.
I'm
I'm here.
And we have a new caller.
I want you to kill the dog.
How many people are with us?
One.
Two.
Okay, we're going to get another one in here. Hold on a moment. Okay, we've got three calls together, do we?
Number one. Number two.
Okay.
Number dog.
It's beeping for some reason. I don't know why it's beeping. Let me hit a tone, see if that helps.
I hear a puppy. That's not our puppy.
Well, somebody hung up and made it stop beeping. That's good. Okay, would our callers identify themselves and tell us where they're from?
Well, I'm caller number one, and I called earlier. I just wanted to help you out with your teleconference. Ray Parini, calling from Comac.
Okay.
I'm number two. I'm Michael in East Talkin'.
Okay. Well, that's great that we can link Easitalkit and Comac together like this, you know.
Well, Easitalkit and Comac have been trying for years to come up like sister cities, but we're doing it right here live on the air.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because the two cities have so much in common, you know. They have, you know, nice little trees and double yellow lines down Main Street, that kind of thing. I wish there would be more of such contacts made. Perhaps we should send flowers or something back and forth. Or exchange programs. Yeah, have an exchange program between the high schools.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I won't be able to represent Comac because I don't really reside here year-round.
Uh-huh.
How about you, caller from Setauket?
Oh, I'm stuck here.
Okay, so perhaps you could represent Setauket, and maybe we can get some other callers from Comac at this point in time to call in and represent Comac.
Hear that? Callers from Comac, we need you. 632-6901. Callers from Setauket, we need you too. 632-6901.
And Stony Brook and Riverhead and
help bridge the gap. The gap that has
come on, Long Island.
That has gapped Long Island for too long. Now we can finally do
come
something
together,
about it.
Long Island.
People power.
And Connecticut.
And we know that there's a lot of listeners out there because it's a chilly evening and not a lot of people are out driving around with tops down. They're listening to their radios.
Uh-huh.
Warm home.
Yeah, no one has the tops down now. Unless they don't have a top to start with.
True. Okay, so I guess Comac is doing really good. Setauket's doing really good. You know, we're listening to alternative radio. I guess that's representative of those cities. If there's anybody else out there who is artistic enough to be listening to this program, then they should call in.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not calling in. Why is that? Perhaps you folks should give out the phone number.
632-6901, it's 516, there you go.
That's right, it's an easy number to call, too. I mean, it's easy to remember, 632-6901.
90.1.
Area code 516.
The number used to be 246-7901.
It used to be 246-7901, but we had to change it because of the new system.
So don't dial that now.
Don't dial that now, you'll get an angry recording.
6901?
Well, I can put you guys on hold, you'll still be able to talk to each other. Let me, for the sake of our listeners, call up that number and you can hear for yourself what happens when you call the old USB number. Oh, come on. It's got to be there.
The number you have dialed has been changed. Please call the new main number for the State University at Stony Brook at 516-689-6000. The telephone number for the University Hospital is 689-8333. For emergencies, call the university public safety number at 246-3333.
And a career in broadcasting can be yours. Are our callers still there?
Oh, we were just chatting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we're gonna tie in another person here. Hold on a second. Okay, we have another beeping call here, but where's our new caller from?
Head of the Harbor.
Head of the Harbor. I don't know if you've ever gotten a call from there.
Oh, really?
No, Head of the Harbor is a great place. It's such a small little town.
And phone calls from Rowan Beep. And what?
Phone calls beep from Head of the Harbor.
For some reason, we're getting a beeping here, but that's only because we don't know why.
I'm calling from a payphone right now.
Oh, what? You pulled over to the side of the road and made a call. Just, wow, that's incredible.
You want people to call, but what if they don't have change and they want to call you?
That is a problem. What an interesting... Do we all hear the same noise?
Yeah, I hear it.
It's an incredible noise, isn't it?
It's somewhat minimal, you know.
It's the payphone, probably.
No, I don't think it's the payphone. I think it's when you hook three people up.
Do you have a puppy
up there? Well, we've let the puppy go. We tossed him out the window, so he's free now.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad I called.
Yeah, no, we weren't going to hurt the puppy. We're just going to mock him a bit.
What?
But we don't hurt animals here. Just hurt ourselves.
is probably something that we're going to get from the evening noise.
What was that?
Correct.
I'm sorry, Satalkit. I had trouble hearing that.
Are you talking to me? How many people are on this line now?
Well, Scott, is that you?
Three.
Hi, Sharon. I'm sure we've all heard those stupid commercials by now.
Are they really putting a McDonald's in the Soviet Union?
They are putting a McDonald's in the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union has asked for it. That's the funny thing. Now, I don't think there are any Soviet chains, so we can't ask for something in return. Or maybe there are. If there are, I'd love to see them.
Do you think that there's a Soviet pronunciation for French fries, or do you think they call them something else rather than Soviet fries?
I don't think they call it Soviet fries.
Bolshoi fries.
Yeah, I think the Bolshoi Mac is the best.
Right, I can't believe that. This is not true, is it really?
And that means the Bolshoi Ballet is the big ballet. That's funny, too.
Yeah, but you don't know what the translation to French fries is then, huh?
The translation to French?
Well, French fries, what do they call them in Soviet Union?
Well, now, there are McDonald's in France. What do they call them there? That's a good
question. I think they call them
home fries.
Home fries?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I want to thank you all for calling. We're going to close off the show now.
For crying out loud.
I will ask you folks one last question. We do have this Beatle rarity album staring us in the face here. What Beatle song would you like to hear a rare version of?
I want to hear Helter Skelter.
You want to hear Helter Skelter? Any objections to that?
No objection.
That's a rather appropriate way to end the show, I guess. Okay, you folks, I'll put you on hold so you can exchange addresses and phone numbers.
Oh.
And you can just do all that off the air.
Wait, before you lose them.
And Susan, you wanted to say something?
I want to know if they're blonde, tan, and nice, the way they look on TV.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all blonde and tan and everything like that.
Blonde and tan.
Well, it's a prerequisite for calling conferences. You have to be blonde and tan.
Oh.
The women are blonde.
Yeah. The men are tan.
I have to hang up now? Does that mean?
No. We're going to put you on hold, and you can hang up whenever you want, but talk to these nice, fine people from Satalkit and Comac.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Thanks for calling. Oh, boy. What a joy it is to bring pleasure into people's lives like this.
I wish I knew you were doing this with the Beatles. I have a Persian version.
Yeah,
Persian version. It's not the Beatles, but it sounds like the Beatles to me, or it did anyway when I heard it first.
Well, if you ever saw the film, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. I don't know if you've ever seen that. There is I believe, a Czechoslovakian version of Hey Jude. And if anyone knows who the artist is that sings that version of Hey Jude, I'd kill people to get that. I would. I mean, you know, I wouldn't kill friends, but I would kill strangers to get that record. I would. So if you know who did that song, if you ever saw The Unbearable Lightness of Being, a tremendous film, too, or, you know, a Czechoslovakian version of Hey Jude. It might not even be Czechoslovakian. The film was about Czechoslovakia, so I just assumed it was.
Probably French or... It's all the same to you, I guess.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what version it was. But if you know what it was, give us a call and tell me, please.
Well, if you would kill, I'd bring in the next version. The Persian... I hate saying Persian version. How often can I say that, though?
The Iranian version.
The Iranian version of when I saw him standing there. Her standing there. Whatever.
Uh-huh. Do you have that?
I have that on tape. I'll bring it in next week.
I'd love to hear that. We're getting Helter Skelter ready for you now. Now, a couple of things we should say about this version of Helter Skelter. It's the mono version. Okay, the mono version. Every Beatle record that came out had two versions, had the stereo and had the mono. And usually they sounded the same. But, strange as it may seem, the Beatles and George Martin remixed many of their albums from mono rather than simply combining the stereo mix onto one track.
Are you reading this?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't it great the way I sort of flowed into that? Some of the songs have noticeable differences, Susan, but the later records, such as the White Album, did you catch the part where I wasn't reading there?
Yes. I think it has something to do with the White... No, never mind.
Some of the songs have noticeable differences, but the later records, such as the White Album, were released in the U.S. in stereo only. One of the songs from this album, Helter Skelter, is changed considerably on the mono version, included here. The vocals are much louder. Laughing is heard at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's in the middle of a lyric, actually. Mm-hmm. You hear laughing. What else? Beeping sounds. Yes, beeping sounds are scattered throughout the song, and the drumming at the end is different. It sounds sort of like like a reggae dubwise version. It's sort of echoey and everything. So the drumming is completely different at the end of the song. And when the song fades out at the end, it doesn't come back like on the stereo version, so you don't hear the classic Lennon statement, "I've got blisters on my fingers," bounce, like that. You know, you don't hear that.
What came first, this or that? Mono?
Well, I think they both came out at the same time. One was mono and one was stereo, because back then everybody was sort of confused as to which they should get. Should they get stereo? Should they get mono? Is it compatible? You know. In fact, I've got a quadraphonic record at home, which I bought at one of these record stores for $1.
I remember that.
Chicago Transit Authority, double album and quad.
You haven't tried that yet?
That's six records if you multiply. Double record and quad, you get the value of six records out of that. Incredible.
How'd you figure that?
No, it's not either, is it?
That's eight.
It'd be eight records. Four times... No, 16. Quad, four times four.
It's
four sides.
Right.
Well, no, two records. Oh, I don't know. It's very confusing. But it's an awful lot of music there. So, yes, we will hear Helter Skelter, and we will be leaving for tonight after we hear Helter Skelter.
I can hear people saying, thank God.
Yes.
We're leaving.
Well, now, we will have time for the outro, I guess, after the song. So let's play the song now. Helter Skelter, the mono version from Beatle Rarities here on Brain Damage WUSB. Oh, our callers have hung up. They were talking together all that time, but now they've all hung up.
They want to hear the song.
They want to hear the song, of course. Everyone wants to hear the song, so I'm gonna shut up and just play the song. Helter Skelter, the rare version. And let's tell Phil Glass to stop. Okay, here we go. Beatles.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the side. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah. Do you, don't you want me to love you? I'm coming down fast, but I'm miles above you. You leave your dad.
And that's it. It's not going to fade back in. That's Helter Skelter, the mono version, only released in England, and on the Beatle Rarities album, which I found this week in a record store. Actually, I found it a couple of weeks ago, but I only started playing it this week. And that's it for our show this week. The brothers have already broken in, and they're shooting up the place, so get ready for them for the next couple hours here on 90.1 FM, WUSB in Stony Brook. One more thing we have to mention, though, before we go out, and we had mentioned this before, that a loon was discovered in Brooklyn. Yes, workers at an environmental center in Brooklyn's Prospect Park stopped what they were doing and rushed out of their offices last week to stare at a rare sight on the lake. A common loon, the first sighted in the park since 1942, had dropped in. Any loon that's found on Prospect Park Lake is a great rarity, said John Urizari, a Brooklyn naturalist and president of the Brooklyn Bird Club. He first spotted the loon, which is known by its scientific name as Gavia imir. The water bird is still in the park, and officials predict it will remain another week. So just when you thought there was no hope at all, loons in Brooklyn. Something to think about until next week. See you again for Brain Damage, Saturday at 10 o'clock. Peace.
The lunatic is on the ground. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, days of chains and locks. Got to keep the loonies on the car. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. The door, throw away the key. Someone in my head, but it's not me. Thank you. that you see, all that you taste, and all you feel, and all that you love, and all that you hate, and all you distrust, and all you say, and all
There's no dark side of the moon, really. It's all dark. Hi, welcome to the Brothers Show until around 2:30 at WUSB Stony Brook.
Thank you. the